Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We join the hymn writer and say, let us all with gladsome voice praise the God of heaven, who to bid our hearts rejoice his own Son hath given. In the next verse of the hymn, we state the words that tell what God has done. To this vale of tears he comes, here to serve in sadness, that with him in heaven's fair homes we may reign in gladness. By faith, believers know we are rich, for he was poor. Is not this a wonder? Therefore, praise God evermore, here on earth and yonder. Jesus is our riches, and we are real rich in him. Please be seated. There are a lot of words which sound like they come from the Bible, but they do not. Can you tell me which of the following is not found in the Bible? Statement number one, cleanliness is next to godliness. How about number two? God helps those who help themselves. Here's number three. Confession is good for the soul. Number four is honesty is the best policy. And the last statement is money is the root of all evil. Were you able to figure out which one of these common expressions is not found in the Bible? If you said none of these are found in the Bible, including the one about money being the root of all evil, you are correct. Many of us do not know much about the Bible as what we think we do. That is especially the case when it comes to what Jesus, our Savior, had to do and had to say about money and earthly possessions. For that reason, the message this morning is about money and worldly possessions, and what our Lord and Savior Jesus had to say about them. The Bible tells us that God has no need for our money and earthly possessions. In the book of Psalms, God says, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the creatures of the field are mine. The world is mine and all that is in it. Scripture is plain. God thinks differently. He works differently than we do. Sometimes we believe you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We believe in order to get something, you have to give something. Parents might tell their children, if you expect an allowance, you have to do chores. Spouses inform each other, we can go visit your family for Thanksgiving, but we have to go to my family for Christmas. Many people believe in barter, bribery, and bargaining. God believes in giving. When Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them his promise of a Redeemer who would carry all their sins. When Abraham was childless, God gave him a son. When the children were in slavery in Egypt, God gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. When we were condemned, unloved, and homeless, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. But the Bible also tells us the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, which comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we might not perish, God gave us a gift. So that we might have eternal life, God gave us his only Son. You see, God does not need our money. But he does want us. He does want our hearts, our lives, our being. God wants our hearts for worship, and we worship him out of our thanks to him. Listen to Jesus when he spoke to the woman, the Samaritan woman, by the well. He said, "The hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Now you tell me what is more important. Ask a person what is a higher priority, reading the Bible or watching TV. Most religious people will say reading the Bible is more important, but that is probably not where they put their time. Ask a group of people, what is more important, your soul or your stuff? They will likely reply, "My soul." That is what they say. But how many folks spend endless time and resources fixing up their houses and spending half a minute thinking about their eternal home? We lie to ourselves about the importance of money. Lying about our priorities is a human habit that Jesus says can be very deadly and dangerous. This is the point that Jesus tried to make to a fellow whose story we are told about this morning in our gospel in Luke chapter 12. The chapter begins with the Savior telling his followers about hypocrisy, hell, and to be a witness of him to his disciples. That is when somebody from the crowd made this demand. He said, "Teacher, get my brother to divide my inheritance with me." Sounds like a reasonable request. But let me ask you, you hear the man say any expression of grief? Any bit of mourning at the death of his parents? Do you hear him asking about their eternal destinies? Or how he might be sure he can get to heaven when it's time to die? Do you hear the man express any concern how sad the news of his parents' passing might be affecting his brother? Those thoughts are not, or feelings are not, expressed by this man. The man was sick. He had terminal disease of affluenza, where his heart and his mind were centered on, they were controlled on, commanded by a desire to get his share of money and earthly possessions that he felt were coming to him. The man wanted his money and stuff, and he wanted Jesus to give the command to hand out the money and distribute the stuff. If you think that Jesus never talked about money and stuff, you need to hear the story known as the parable of the rich fool. The man in the story is called a fool, not because he was a stupid man. The opposite is true. The man had a success in himself. Now, as a first-rate farmer, the man had bought the right seed and had planted that seed at just the right time. He had fertilized it when his fields needed to be fertilized. If they had weed killers at that time, he would have applied weed killers at the right time. The man had taken the crop to the market when it was just the market was at the highest, and he had bought land when it was at the lowest. The man was good, very good at what he did. And because he was good at what he did, he had a lot of money. Now the man's confidence was in himself. His wisdom, his successful accomplishments, the money that he had managed to accumulate. Now this is very important in the sermon this morning. Because he trusted in himself. He trusted in his possessions. He gave no glory to God. He gave no time to God. And sometimes that is where the story goes wrong, in that people think, oh, all earthly possessions are wrong. No, It's loving them. It's coveting them. It's living for more and more and more of them. And so the money that this man had accumulated, he had started to store up in barns, his grain. Then Jesus added that this man had been blessed with a bumper crop. Now this was a crop that only farmers can only have in their dreams. The farmer did some calculations and realized he had too much crop and too little storage. It was then that the farmer realized, I've got a problem here. But the good kind of problem, which can be fixed. He said, I will tear down my small barns and build bigger barns. Barns big enough to store all my grain, my goods, and all my stuff. Then when all those buildings are built and full of grain, I am going to say to myself, congratulations, you have all the money that you will ever need. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus finished the story of the rich fool and made his point about money and stuff with this ending. God said to the farmer, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? This man was a fool not because he was smart or not because he was rich. He was a fool because he thought that this making money and getting money was the beginning, the middle, and the end of his entire life. Now you might say, that story was a parable, and it never really happened. And you would be correct. But listen to this true story. Several years ago, construction workers were laying a foundation for a building outside the ancient city of Pompeii. There they found the corpse of a woman who appears to have been overwhelmed by the rain of ash that fell from the eruption of a volcano called Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. In the woman's skeleton hands were jewels which had been perfectly preserved. She held on to the jewels when death grabbed hold of her. She learned the time will come when money and earthly possessions don't make any difference at all. Someday you are going to leave everything behind, your money and earthly possessions. That is the truth. And that is why this morning Jesus wants you to know that having money is okay as long as it does not take the place of God from your heart. Don't think for a moment that being rich can be a suitable substitute for being rich in your relationship with your Savior. Your riches and whatever you have accumulated here will not be with you in heaven or hell. Don't lie to yourself like the rich fool did. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money that takes the place of God displeases God and is the root of much evil. This morning, the Holy Spirit calls you away from the sinful belief that following money and earthly possessions and anything else will be greater than Jesus. Today, the Holy Spirit wants you to look at Bethlehem's manger, Calvary's bloody cross, and the Savior's empty grave. Look and believe God's Son, Jesus, who took your place under the law so that you might have a place in heaven. He resisted Satan's temptations to all the wealth in the world so that you and I and anyone who believes in him might have eternal life. God's riches are yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Your riches and your earthly possessions mean nothing to our God. Instead, He wants your heart. He wants your worship. He wants your love. That is God's truth. And that is the message, that message that the pastors and the teachers of St. John Lutheran Church and School have been preaching and teaching for 150 years and will continue, with God's grace, continue teaching and preaching. Having Jesus as your Savior is all about true riches. God grant that the Holy Spirit work in our hearts so that we also put all of our faith and all of our riches in Him, and He will give us the riches of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.